Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 314. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
Oh, great, another Mario game.
Holly Velmuth.
Hello.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, everyone.
So for tonight's show, we're shaking things up a bit, and we're going to have a single segment all about Nintendo's E3. So, before I ramble on any more, how did we all find Nintendo's presence at E3 in general?
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. The live at E3, the Treehouse live at E3 stuff in particular, really caught me off guard by how good it was and entertaining it was. It was super in-depth as well, and so that's just my what comes to my mind. I don't want to talk for too long, so.
All right, let's do a quick go around the table here, and let's say if the kind of showing kind of met your expectations or not. So Holly, was this better than you expected?
Yes.
Colin?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And Harrison?
Yeah, it was. And this is coming from me. I set my expectations pretty low going into Tuesdays. But, I was surprised by the amount of content that they had and how they just put it all together. And when it came down to the big three, when I watched them, between Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, I would have a hard time trying to go through various media sites, IGN, Kotaku, Destructoid, Giant Bomb, just everything out in between, just to see, streaming of, live demos. And, it's a good approach that Nintendo was able to show all their products on their YouTube and Twitch channels just to show these. And even media has praised them for the way they actually did at E3, how they went away from the traditional press conference and what these various kind of announcements. Because after that digital event, we were still getting announcements afterwards, be it roundtables or even through Treehouse Live, and plus even during the Smash Brothers Invitational. So there was still a lot to actually show.
Oh yeah, I don't think you would necessarily be able to tell beyond the lack of the third-party support that people were saying that the Wii was in any sort of misfortune, because it was a fantastic showing. And so they had this three-pronged approach. I mean, we normally just talk about their press event, but they obviously had their digital event, they had the live Treehouse coverage over the 3 days of E3, and of course they had the Smash Bros. Invitational, which took place in the Nokia Theatre that they normally do their shows. So, yeah, I mean, the coverage was just massive, and it just kind of took the whole stretch of E3. In terms of me as a home viewer, I definitely watched more E3 this year than I have any other years.
Same here. I think in years past, when I would watch, all the conferences from the big three, I'd be hesitant just to watch, live streaming of demos online from various media sites, because it's just you didn't know what they were offering, what they're going to talk about. I mean, it was just kind of, you're going back and forth between different sites just to watch this, but yet kind of Nintendo condensed it enough to, hey, here's all our material here to be demoed for about 30 to 45 minutes. But, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch every single one of them. I mean, the ones I caught were Splatoon, Yarn Yoshi, which I know has a new name, but I'm going to still call it Yarn Yoshi because it just, Yoshi's Woolly World, just try saying that three times fast. Again, it's just the content that I was surprised by the content that they had in there. I mean, yeah, there might have been one or two games that I wish they would have shown, Metroid, for instance, but again, luckily we got some news out of that later on. I'll talk about that later. But it's, they handled it very well, and I can understand why Nintendo went with this route.
I was actually surprised that, because in a previous episode of Infendo Radio, I talked about how I was worried that during all that time that they had during, you know, showing off demos and things, would it be entertaining and would it be fun to watch the entire time? There's two main things I was really impressed with when it came to the Treehouse Live segments. First, that it went so smoothly. It just went from game to game really smoothly. There was never like an awkward moment where you're like, I mean, there were, you know, maybe a couple minutes in between each segment and everything like that, but overall it was pretty smooth. Another thing is that the energy of it never fizzled out, and there was plenty of variety. I mean, tons of different people talking about the games, playing the games, and, you know, just kept me constantly entertained, which I was very, very impressed with.
Exactly, and I had to give their PR probably big bonus points for starting out the digital event with a robot chicken segment, which I never thought they would actually get Seth Green and the creators to do, because that first minute and a half or so when they had, you know, Reggie come out there and a stop motion segment and just kind of poke fun at the company itself and the fans. I mean, I tried to hold together whatever when it was like that. They had that part, whatever, where it just showed an E3 media member saying, "Come on, Reggie, give us Mother 3! And he's like, "How about this?" And he just lights them on fire. Or what was it? They do. And even Reggie said during various interviews, whatever, he's like, "Yeah, that's for people who keep accosting me for Mother 3. I think you're saying it's getting old, but also, I did, like, when I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, like, oh, another Mario game. And Reggie goes on that segment. It's like, well, surprisingly, I don't like your tone, but we have no new Mario game today. And it goes to the back where Mario is just like, "What? I'm being bumped? Get my cart." And then it cuts to Link, adult Link. He's like, "Yeah, looks like I'm the new star of Nintendo." And then Toon Link comes up. He's like, "Hey, they told me you weren't going to be here."
It was all very well done. But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people speculating that they're doing these like digital events as like a cost-saving measure. But everything they put out this E3, I'm sure they've spent a lot more money this year than they have previous years when they've done, you know, the traditional.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure they spent a lot of money during that Iwata and Reggie fight that was straight out of DBZ.
They must have got the Wachowski brothers on that one.
Very Matrix, yeah.
So we've managed to speak quite a lot about E3 without mentioning any of the new games Nintendo has announced.
Yeah, that would say the games. The games that so, were announced.
Should we get straight to the big one and work backwards?
Let's do it.
Because or else we're all going to be sidestepping sidestepping around Zelda, basically.
What's the big one? Splatoon?
Oh, no. As much as I would like to say.
No, we know what the big one is. It's Toad's Treasure Tracker.
It's Zelda, I guess. Zelda didn't really have, like, I mean, it had that footage, but it didn't have, like, a trailer by itself. I don't know. Splatoon was like, the new IP, though, so that was a big one.
Well, I mean, well, the Zelda one was meant to tide us over. That's it.
It's better than some Zelda, announcements we've had, though, because, like, the original Skyward Sword announcement technically was just showing a picture of Link from a developer roundtable. So at least we had in-engine footage, and we had some quite exciting descriptions that it was going to go back to its roots. Going to be a kind of an open-world game where you can explore any way you want to, And he was said as an example that you can see those mountains in the distance, so you can run up them.
Yeah. See, this is why I wish the event was live, because that trailer, footage, we've got such a reaction, the same sort of reaction that Twilight Princess got. It would have been huge.
It's just true, but I think we had a good trade-off with the, you know, the robot chicken sketches and so on, because
obviously exactly, yeah.
They're things which I guess arguably could have done on a live stage, but you're just showing footage, video footage on exactly, a live stage yeah. at that point, so it's the same. Maybe I'd feel different if I was reporting, from LA, as it were, because it seems like the experience from the tech journalists out there, obviously they don't get a great Nintendo press experience because they're just seeing the show from their kind of hotels on their rubbish internet connection.
And the rubbish internet, like a hotel internet, and I know.
And that's all they've got to go by until they actually.
And really, I think that's what kind of upset a lot of journalists when Nintendo said they weren't going to be doing press conferences. And I could be blamed, and I'm guilty of this as well, is because they want to be there first to see it, not just like, oh, here's a video of us showing this. It's just like it takes them out of it. Because one thing I've kind of dogged on big E3 press conferences is like, when you house them in these arenas or these theaters, it just feels like you're not members of press watching game reveals. You're just kind of puppets as far as just to get claps, like, you know, to get applauses out there. That's really what it kind of comes down to.
And sometimes the applause doesn't even come, not very strongly. So press conferences can be a little awkward. Whereas I think Nintendo this time around focused more on fans. I mean, for one thing, the digital event was very entertaining and, you know, anyone could watch it. Another thing is they let 3,000 fans, which is, you know, a pretty good number for, you know, people who live in LA, that is. They let them go to the Super Smash Bros. Invitational. And if you saw the Invitational itself or just the highlight video, which is all I saw actually, the fans were just freaking out. I mean, it was epic.
Yeah. I actually watched the whole thing live. And so if you were missing kind of the crowd cheering at certain Nintendo moments, then kind of bang for your buck, you have it at the Invitational. There's absolutely huge roars from the crowds when just certain moments are hitting off, especially when Mega Man got his Smash Ball and all the kind of the old Mega Mans popping up to do that final Smash attack.
I have a good story relating to that once we get to the other thing when we talk about Smash Fest. But good idea. I mean, good word on Nintendo actually switching their live feed to YouTube as opposed to Ustream. Because last year, Ustream, I had many problems with my feed just cutting in and out, and that was my big worry going into it. But luckily there was not even a hiccup. So.
Yeah, and it was also all on Twitch as well. So it's good that they're being a lot more open to that. I watched the Invitational on Twitch. I think it was on the Wii U browser itself. So that was pretty awesome. I wasn't even entirely sure it did it, but I gave it a go and it worked. So if we jump now to the actual the different new game announcements which came out, we've kind of briefly mentioned, obviously, the new Zelda game, which doesn't have a full name yet. And Holly has mentioned Splatoon. I want to talk a bit more about Splatoon, actually, because that was a game which really grabbed my attention. Not straight away from the announcement, but I saw them playing it on the live stream afterwards, and that game looks like an awesome multiplayer game, and a really cool twist on like the modern shooter, as it were.
Yeah, and it's a nice little concept to it, because, I mean, I kind of just... Let's just say during the stream, like the event, I didn't really pay too much attention to the trailer just because I thought it was just going to be it. This looks like just a regular eShop title until I figure out, oh, this is going to be retail and downloadable. But it's like Nintendo's take on paintball almost.
Yeah, definitely, and it's basically like a territory game. And so, although you can take out your opponents, the actual the fate of the game is decided on who has splattered the most territory, basically, or floor space. There's just a lot involved in that game, because also there's the transformation into a squid, and you can kind of swim and hide for your own ink, but you kind of really slowly trudge through your opponent's ink. And there's some really cool techniques they were showing off. It looks like it's really, like, really well thought out game. And it's been made by, I think it's a new team, which is being led by Miyamoto.
I think so. I'm looking at the developer. But yeah, when you mentioned how there's different ways you can use this, your team's paint to cover this territory to win, is like not only like the Super Soaker-esque, you know, paint gun that you can use, you can use like large droplet, like a drips of paint to be sent in, like I guess kind of like a Call of Duty-esque like airstrike, and you can even use like a large paint roller or something like that to roll around. But this is one of those new IPs that be the developers Nintendo Co. Limited, so it's in house.
Yeah, and so, it seems to have some quite cool uses of the gamepad as well. They're showing off how you can like tap players on the touchscreen, and you can like jump all the way over to their location. Which it sounds simple enough, but when you think about it, there hasn't really been like a quick method of doing that without like pulling up a menu previously. And like obviously on the touchscreen at all times, you have like a very clear top-down view, and you can see how much kind of ink spread there is amongst both of your teams. So yeah, it seems like it's really smartly thought-out game. I'm really looking forward to kind of get my hands on this one.
And one thing I was curious about it was if this was just going to be a multiplayer-only title, but after reading through whatever, after it was revealed, I think it was like Miyamoto and Reggie had mentioned, or it was either Miyamoto or Reggie that mentioned that, yes, there is going to be a single-player mode to this. I don't know how it's going to work, if there's going to be a story related to it or not. So, I mean, this game kind of has the potential to be one of those great, not only a great home console, but like, you know, just a home local multiplayer experience, but a great online experience as well.
I just wonder if it's going to have voice chat. Although that's, you know, that's obviously way down the road, but please have voice chat.
Yeah, that would really help in a sort of, like, very team cooperative-based game, wouldn't it?
Hey, there's four of us. We should all, like, we should, like, say right now that we are going to be a team.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. Wow. You know, in the Treehouse Live presentation, they kind of talked about how you can already start, like, forming your alliances. Actually, I honestly was thinking about talking to Mike McSurdy. Mike is a poet about this because he's just good at gaming, and I think it'd be good to have him on my side. So we'll see.
Wow. One of us has already got bummed out.
I'll take it.
But yeah. Until you get a Wii U, you're bummed out.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that too.
Exactly. I'm working on it, all right?
But I mean, Splatoon's one new. I mean, we've got that. I mean, as far as other big things that got unveiled, I mean,
it was a surprising amount of them, really. I mean, the next one I've got on my list here is Mario Maker.
Which, of course, yeah, that got unveiled, like, I mean, leaked early. But for the longest time, I mean, I thought that this was going to be a 3DS exclusive, but this is actually going to be on the Wii U, correct?
It is, yeah, and it makes a lot of sense, too, because you just have a lot more kind of screen real estate to actually plot your objects and so on. I think it would be a bit cramped on the 3DS, especially if it wasn't the XL. But yeah. Another cool use of the Wii U gamepad, being able to, you know, create things, create your own Mario levels, and you can flip between the original Mario Bros. Graphics and the new Super Mario Bros. Graphics. And yeah, it looks like you can just come up with some really crazy levels. You can stack enemies on top of each other, and it looks like they've put lots of like Mario Paint-esque Easter eggs in there.
Oh yeah, like the template on there, like the key and everything. Like yeah, that totally reminded me of Mario Paint.
Yeah.
But
apparently there's a whole bunch of those in there, and there's like a sound or a music editor as well. I think this could be huge, really, especially with the ability to kind of just upload and download levels. If they make that system really smooth, I reckon it could be huge. If you can just like have a huge collection of downloaded Mario levels from like really talented people, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, it could be huge, but also it could be frustrating for a lot of us, because you know there's a lot of people out there are going to make some devilishly like hard Mario levels.
Yeah,
like,
the problem
you
was,
see through the first videos on there how oh you go to the flagpole but you can't enter the castle.
Oh yeah, it's just cool how they're showing off that you can just mess with it opposed to just trying to make a you know serious Mario level. It's cool that they're on board on that.
And this one, I believe, is also slated for 2015 along with Splatoon, correct?
Yeah, that's a common theme we're gonna hear. Most of these games are 2015.
Shortly say on here, like, that's the thing that kind of worried me about this holiday season is that, off the top of my head, it's like one, two, three, probably three or four major titles are coming out in the fall, yet all this is being pushed, like a lot of it we're getting to 2015. It makes me think, like, well, two things. One, is there something else that is going to be in the end of, like, 2014 that we're going to get, be it Wii U or 3DS? Or are they just compensating for the fact that, like, most of the time from, like, January to April, which is usually almost a dead season for, like, you know, game releases, is that Nintendo just wants to spread it out a little bit more?
Yeah, I think they're just spreading things out and really banking on Smash Bros. For the Wii U just to take everyone's attention. And the fact that they're, like, something we haven't talked about yet, they're also releasing Amiibo Smash Bros. Wii U.
The first major thing we talked that was on the digital event.
Exactly. Yes. So we've known this has been upcoming now for quite some time, and so as everyone else has said, this is Nintendo's take on the Disney Infinity or the Skylanders type toys that you can put into your game. And they've revealed that the first generation of them are all going to be based around the Smash Brothers, I guess, style of characters. And that they can, you know, store data in your custom move sets for Smash Bros. But they'll also work with a bunch of other games, including a recently revealed Mario Party 10, I think we're up to now. They're going to retrofit it into Mario Kart 8. It's also going to be compatible with a couple of other games that they announced at the same time, including Yoshi's Woolly World. And Captain
Toad's
Toad.
Treasure Hunter.
Yeah.
Toad's, yeah, whatever that one's
treasure
called.
Toad, Treasure Tracker.
Treasure Tracker.
So I have no idea how they will work on all those other games.
What Bill Trinan said. He said, you'll just have to find out and see how they work.
I'm hoping Trinan, it's in some interesting and clever way, opposed to just something just like that, very generic. But yeah, I think that's what they're banking on for the holiday is Smash Bros. And selling figurines, and then stretching out those releases in where they would usually have those empty spots in the year after.
With these
and
figures,
actually,
sorry,
go on.
No, go on, Holly.
Hey, I said go on first, but I'll go on. I was gonna say you mentioned that the first big announcement was Amiibo. I would beg to differ. I would say that the announcement of Mii characters being in Smash Bros. Was the first big one. I'm kind of being sarcastic there, but yay, Mii characters in Smash Bros.
I mean, it's not generic Mii characters. I mean, you can have different moves, like different types. What is it, like a fighter, the gunner, and the swordsman?
Yeah.
And I think this is, and even, well, Reggie and Iwata and Trenton had mentioned that this is just to kind of show, like, hey, all those Miis that you've made of celebrities, be it, you know, Darth Vader, Admiral Akbar, or any other pop culture figure you can think of, you can put them in the game. I mean, that, and they also offer up a bit of, like, creativity as far as moveset and what you can do to them. So, I mean, these aren't just going to be just run-of-the-mill, like, oh, here's your Mii character, like in Mario Kart 8. That's it. It's just a little placeholder. I mean, they're kind of going the extra mile to make your custom-made Mii character kind of mean something in Smash Brothers.
I love the little examples they had in the video. Lincoln is sworn in. Elijah would like to play.
I thought there were some odd choices amongst those, having like the four of them, and they were what they managed to pick.
Odd, but awesome.
Yeah, but no, I was pleasantly surprised in just kind of how kind of just well done they were implemented. I mean, I was expecting it just to be like a standard Mii character and you just import the visual on top of it. But they went into the custom movesets, and they did explain how basically all the traditional characters have custom movesets, but they're very derivative of their normal moves. But for the Mii characters, not only do you have the three classes, the fighter, the swordsman, and the gunner, but each of them have 12 moves to choose from, to pick their four special moves. And so you can, there's a whole bunch of like fairly unique characters you can make out of this new Mii announcement, regardless of the visuals. I'm just, yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised just how much effort was put into that.
Back on Amiibo, I could have swore that Bill Trennan or Reggie did say something that there would be a special edition, like, Mii Amiibo figure.
A what?
A Mii one?
Mii?
That's a good question. It might have been a stock one or a generic, but, you know, like, back in the whole Amiibo thing is that, when it was shown the trailer, though, this is what I'm trying to clear up, though. When you use the Amiibo on there, like, put on the gamepad, is this controlled by you, or is this computer-controlled based on the stats that you raised it to be?
The second.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of got them a surprise, thinking, like, why would I want to build up a Mario character when I can just build up Mario in the game? But I can understand why you're building up a computer-controlled Amiibo character.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's more to it than that. Because, I mean, unless you have just, like, a local friend who's doing the same, I mean, it might be interesting to kind of train them, as it were, as you would kind of like a Pokemon or a really old school Digimon type thing.
Nice example.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say.
Oh yeah, and just you could just, you know, place both of them on there and let them fight and see who wins, as it were, without you doing anything. I'm hoping there's a bit more to it, because that's quite a niche, just playstyle nowadays. I feel there's got to be something online you can do with it, or I don't know, something more.
Well, if all else fails, though, Lewis, I mean, when these come out, they'll look great on anybody's desk.
This is true. I mean, and although they're not, like, the final production, they look very high quality. I'm hoping they'll stick with that level of quality in these figures.
I'm sure they would. I mean, I've looked at the Skylanders and the Disney Infinity character, like, you know, like NFC figurines, and those are good quality, and they kind of show up as far as the same way in the game. So, but I mean, I was actually surprised that they took the design, like the mug shots, almost of like their characters in the Smash Brothers character select screen. So, I don't know. Like, would I collect them all? Maybe. I mean, I mean, the first one I'm going to get is Samus. So
yeah. I think pricing's going to be vital answering that question, because the way they've been talking about them, I think they've been very careful to not to say, like, try and collect them all. And specifically when asked, I think Sakurai is saying that most people won't collect them all. They'll just pick their favourite or so on. So from going off that alone, I think they might be quite expensive each. And so you would just pick your favourite.
I could see a starter set that they could probably, like, it includes, like, maybe one figurine you've seen in the package, and the rest are, like, kind of surprises.
Oh, that would make it tough to collect them all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, I'm saying, like, they have them individually, and then they have, like, a starter pack.
Yeah, that makes sense. More sense, for sure.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see, like, a big collector's edition of, actually, I could see them doing several collector's editions of Smash Bros. In a very un-Nintendo-like move. One just a normal game, a second it with like the GameCube adapter, and the third with the GameCube adapter, the GameCube controller with the symbol, and an Amiibo figure, all in one big box, and possibly a soundtrack as well. I think we're going to go really all out trying to promote this holiday.
Yeah, there would be a package for everybody.
Is it the 3DS getting some sort of attachment?
It is, but
use Amiibo.
They haven't talked about a date for that yet. Beyond it's coming next year, I think they said previously when they talked about the adapter.
Yeah.
Wait, the adapter there is set a price point for it, though.
Oh, have they?
What?
Wait, no. Oh, I thought we were talking about the game. I thought we were talking about the GameCube.
Oh, no, sorry. No, wrong choice of words for me.
You're talking about the 3DS Amiibo adapter, yes.
Yeah, the NFC reader for 3DS. I think they've just said it's coming 2015. And obviously it will work with the Smash Bros. Version of the 3DS Smash Bros. Once it's out.
Tell me, okay, I hope I wasn't the only one thinking this when I saw the initial trailer after the digital event where Trennan was acting out a Mario figurine, a Samus figurine, just going like, I'm going to get you. And like the one thing that came to my mind was, watch all the hardcore fans just buy these things up, and they're acting these things out, and someone of their buddies comes ramming in, and he just they grabs them all. Is like, did you see anything? And they're like, no. It's right out of Spaceballs, where Dark Helmet.
I was gonna say like Spaceballs.
Yeah, the dolls. And he's like, did you see anything? No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again. Good.
I got that reference too.
Yeah.
Well, I do have some figures on my desk. I have a lot of those Pokemon Rumble U figures, actually, and actually some Zelda figures that I got from Japan, actually. They were like little vending machine toys. They're really neat for vending machine toys, too, but I don't ever, I mean, they're just there to be cool. I don't ever actually think to myself, like, ooh, I wonder if they came alive and started battling each other. What would that look like? Ooh.
Japan has a lot of things in vending machine. One, importantly, beer is one of them.
Yep.
That's always good to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lewis is thinking, why isn't this here?
Yeah, I am.
But moving on.
Yeah. I mean, if we're still sticking to the games which were announced during the digital event, so Yoshi's Woolly World, that had quite a lot of footage and developer talk around it in the digital event itself.
And a lot of yarn.
It's made quite a visual change since we saw it last year, was it? It's quite a while now.
It was early 2013.
Yeah. Because back then, it was kind of like the outline version, how Kirby's Epic Yarn looks. But it's gone like a very kind of rounded, more in, you know, just, I don't know how to describe it as it were,
more
but it's not an outline version
knitted
now.
Feel?
It's very knitted. Yes, it's very comforting.
Yeah, even more so. Yeah, so it's this more 3D environment as opposed to kind of just 2D outlines.
I want one of those knitted Yoshis that the developers were holding. Man, I would die for one of those.
I do too. I want one of those so bad.
They should include it in the game. Instructions on how to make one. That'd be great.
Instructions? Oh, man. I just want one.
They can't encourage kids to play with needles, surely.
Well, only under the supervision of an adult.
Oh, dear. I could just see, like, the needle just, like, stuck in the inside of the box. It's like, do not remove without the accompaniment of an adult.
But I was shocked. I want to say shocked. I was a little surprised that this one got pushed to 2015 as well, going with the theme.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm more optimistic about this game now than the first time I saw it. It looks like it is its own kind of unique thing, opposed to just being another yarn game, beyond like having a similar aesthetic. There's a lot of more Yoshi's stuff in it.
Speaking of Yoshi's, I mean, there is a two-player component to this as well.
There is.
Where you can eat the other Yoshi. So, Yoshi's delving into cannibalism, it seems.
I was going to say, this game promotes cannibalism.
Yeah, this is the first, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. And
in Super Smash Bros. Bros, if one person's Yoshi and the other person's Yoshi.
Of course. Well, I'm glad you're here for these vital questions. And the other thing I noticed, though, during the gameplay footage, Yoshi had a health bar, so he doesn't have infinite life like Kirby did in Epic Yarn. So I guess they're upping the difficulty somewhat, at least.
This is always good.
Because it seems like it will be possible to die. Actually, there will be some sort of game over screen in this game. But yeah, I think overall,
I think that will repel my sister from playing it. I think that's why she liked Kirby's Epic Yarn, is because there's really no dying in it. And she actually played that game. I think she even beat it, which is really impressive for my sister, just so you know.
That's cool. But then again, I don't think because it does have that health bar, it's necessarily going to mean it is a difficult game. But yeah, I think they're just doing some sort of balance beyond just, you know, oh, you can't die, so it's playable for all. I think they're going to try and do that risk and reward type thing. You know, there will be health there, but it's, I reckon if you want it to be an easy game, it still will, but it's hopefully will have some more challenge for the people who are just kind of want that type of experience. But Yoshi's Woolly World looks pretty cool.
New name's interesting. So
the new name is Yoshi's Yarn kind of rolled off the tongue, but Woolly World?
Yeah.
I'm growing to like it already.
I think it's better than Kirby's Epic Yarn. That's just weird. Kirby's Epic Yarn? Who came up with the word epic for that title?
I think it was just to contrast it to, because just like Kirby's whatever yarn, it just sounds so silly. So they chucked the word epic in there.
Because, you know, Kirby's Yarn World just really doesn't seem exciting.
Yeah, I can't remember. Did we have the angry eyes on Kirby on the Epic Yarn cover?
Angry eyes?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, have you not heard of the angry American Kirby? If you compare the American and Japanese box arts, and all the Japanese ones, Kirby's very happy. But on all the American ones, and I think European ones, he's always sports an angry face because he's a cool and badass character.
He's a lot more serious, yeah. Which makes no sense. He's a big glob.
Yeah, but with a troubled past.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a good game to talk about after Yoshi is going to be Kirby's new game, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
Yes,
for the Wii U.
A sequel to Kirby's Campus Curse in the DS.
Yeah. A game I never actually got around to picking up.
No.
But I've heard such good things about it.
It's, you need to. It's, came out, like, fairly early, whatever, in the DS's lifespan, and if you had to bring as far as games that took full advantage of that, like, the second screen to kind of show, like, hey, I get it at that point, that was the prime example.
Yeah, and I did hear at the time, they were claiming it was, like, one of the first games to kind of just, yeah, just use the full capabilities of the DS. But sorry, you know, I'm just looking at some screenshots here, and I've just kind of been overwhelmed by its claymation goodness. It's a really cool style that they went for here.
This is, and I could have sworn they said, because of the claymation aspect of it, that it may dip away from 60 frames per second as far as when you're playing, but don't quote me on that.
I reckon they should be able to. It should just be, it's essentially being just a pre-rendered graphics at that point. It's rocking back the old Donkey Kong Country technology. So we should be alright. But yeah, it looks awesome. I mean, and like it used at the time, unique abilities of the DS, it looks like another good game to show off the gamepad.
I was going to say, it's really nice. The thing about this E3 was how every game has a different aesthetic. So, like, Zelda has that sort of cartoony, well-ish style to it. We have Yoshi's new game, which is obviously made of wool. And this game, which is claymation. It's nice to see there, spreading out, rather than just solid graphics, and trying something new.
Yeah, definitely. And on the back of that, obviously, Splatoon as well. Just
exactly, yeah.
Bursting with colour. It's a very colourful game, that. That's the style, it's just a colourful game.
At the same time, I kind of wanted to see more of, like, Xenoblade Chronicles X type stuff, where it's just, like, you know, dark.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Looks like a really deep experience. But, yeah, they did have that. They had Bayonetta, and so, I don't know, I feel like there was a pretty good variety.
Yeah, they even had the odd announcement of Devil's Third.
Yeah, that one I did not see off until IGN, actually, because right before the digital event started, IGN said they were going to be showing off an exclusive new Wii U game, and I was like, well, what could this be? And to my shock, it was Devil's Third, which it came off from, like, you know, didn't get it was originally published by THQ, but you know what happened to THQ? It was dissolved, and they just needed to find a publisher for this. And I believe, yeah, Nintendo came. They who's that created this game?
Itagashi, right?
Itagaki.
Yeah, he came to the guy, you know, Ninja Gaiden, Dead or Alive fame. He came to Nintendo almost the same way how Platinum Games came to Nintendo to revive Bayonetta.
Yeah, again, sorry, I'm looking over these screenshots here. This is, it's odd.
It kind of looks, this is just me though, probably early on. It could be fun, but it also just looks kind of dated as far as visually.
I think he looks like Duke Nukem's brother or something.
A distant cousin.
Yeah, this is all a distant cousin. Just like doing his own thing. Yeah, in Spider Duke. But just, I don't know, man. I mean, it does look like it could be quite a cool game, but it does, like, it seems like it was a game not talking about the graphics as such, which was kind of conceptually designed in like early 90s, for like 90s action films or something.
Well, I mean, this, what is it? This is a hybrid third person/first person action title, and obviously heavily story based. With Itagaki's kind of like, you know, his form, how he writes and like produces and writes games. Again, it was one of those things when I first saw a trailer for it, I was like, it could be okay, but like I said, it just, when I look at it, I'm thinking this is something that could be on a 360 or PS3, which it was originally planned for. It just makes you think, are they going to those steps to kind of refine it, you know, graphically?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, despite my kind of comical mocking of it, it's not like it's a genre that we have too much of. It's not like it's yet another platformer. Which is,
well,
quite ironically me
Nintendo
saying.
Nintendo is going to be publishing this title too.
Yeah. And so yeah, it'd be cool if it does have like you know, a competent online mode. Quite a cool exclusive to have, really. It kind of really just broadens just the old game library.
Which the Wii U needs, I think, really needs to keep hope he was interested too. 2015.
Yeah, it's cool that we've got like a couple of exclusive shooters with Splatoon and Devil's Third.
It's like, hey kids, you like shooting paint? Here you go.
Yeah. Covering all demographics. Right.
Shooting for the whole family.
We haven't covered Bayonetta, right?
No, we've not yet. No.
I would say, let's get around to that. I mean, that was a nice little surprise at the end, which we get to it. I mean, we were... this is a game that I felt like it feels like it's been forever since it was like first announced, and now we're getting that release date. I feel like this game was announced like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
I think you might be right there. But yeah, as you're alluding to, they did reveal a decent excuse why that may be, or at least what they've also been doing with that extra time, which is having another team port the original Bayonetta to the Wii U, and it's going to be included free. With Bayonetta 2.
Fantastic. Not only that, we are getting Princess Peach, Link, and Samus costumes for Bayonetta.
And I think there's more. I think they've alluded that that's just three of them, and there's going to be extras.
No, did you hear the story, like, this week about, you know, Bayonetta's Link costume, how under Nintendo's, you know, discretion,
yeah,
they said, like, hey, don't put an undershirt underneath Bayonetta, like, you know, to show more cleavage. They... Nintendo,
yeah, what the? That's a new. A very censored publisher. They want more cleavage.
I can't believe I saw that. I mean, this is the same company that, remember when the Fire Emblem, like, you know, Awakening DLC came up, where they had to cover up one of the DLC characters, you know, bare bottom in the US and UK.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, in the US and UK release. And now for Bayonetta, they're just like, yeah, nope. No undershirt, Bayonetta. We need more sexy in that.
Also, the game itself, I think, continues to impress. I don't think at first I was like kind of sold on the game. Going probably a couple years back now, but just from the more and more footage we see, yeah, this looks like an action game of epic proportions. I'm glad it's not coming out in 2015. One of the few games which is actually coming out this year.
Is it okay? Is it wrong that I like the okay? I applaud Nintendo Platinum Games for actually including the original Bayonetta remastered onto the same disc. And of course, everybody was asking for digitally, is this going to be included? So yeah.
Technically, the game is the Bayonetta 1 is going to be a free digital download, so it's not technically on the disc.
You might, yeah, I was starting to think on that. Wow, that is really interesting. No, is it wrong, like I say, is it wrong that I really want to play the first Bayonetta before 2 comes out, because I barely played it, I rented it at one point and never finished it, because I don't want to get Bayonetta 2 and have to play through 1 to wait, like, you know, I want to play the new one. It's just, I kind of want to jump in the new one right away.
Yeah.
I might do the same, actually, because it looks like they've done a really decent job on the port. I mean, it's going to be running at a very smooth 60 frames a second. And they're basing it off the better of the two versions, which were released. And yeah, they've got these extra costumes, and I think they've alluded that there's going to be some extra stuff they've also put in. And so it looks like this is a really decent port. I'm just quite surprised that they're just putting this in for free. I'm not complaining, however.
Well, I mean, it's almost a 4-year-old game, too, so, I mean, that remastered.
But there's a bit of information which came out that the team has taken a year and a half to do the port.
A year and a half?
Apparently. Unless I got that information incorrect, but that's what I heard. That's how long it took them to port it onto the Wii U, which is 3 times the amount of time that Nintendo spent on Wind Waker.
Well, I was going to say, geez, between this, Wonderful 101, and I forgot the name of the Xbox One exclusive title that Platinum Games is going to be doing, but between they've been really busy.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was actually, it's not Platinum who did the port. I can't remember who was, but...
Oh, it's B something. Yeah. They're not well known. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So...
When is it? We have a solid date for this. Well, month window. October.
Which is cool.
Right. Yeah.
Let's jump onto another game which we're actually going to play this year. And this was a brand new announced game. We hadn't heard of it before. And this is Captain's 2 Treasure Tracker. I feel someone else should talk about this. But I will say, I think it did look awesome.
I've got nothing on this.
I kind of knew after playing Mario 3 World, where we had the Captain Toad levels, for a while I thought we might be getting Mario 3D World DLC in the form of Captain Toad, but this excites me, knowing that actually you can have, I mean, it's just not, we're just putting a bunch of Captain Toad levels. I mean, these are more sprawled out, and which include also, you know, a lot more different puzzle solving, and also, I believe in the trailer, we're going to have boss fights.
Yeah. They've only showed off the one, but I assume that means that's going to be a theme, and there will be lots of boss fights throughout the game. But yeah, I mean, also, just probably because it's just running on the same engine as 3D World, the game looks really good, graphically.
It looks extraordinary, yeah.
I don't expect to say that from a game which is called Toad's Treasure Tracker.
It looks like it's running on that Mario 3D World engine, which, of course, we were all impressed with. Especially how colors and animations kind of pop up.
Yeah, to be fair, I think some of these screenshots I'm looking at are just playing to the game's advantages, because from what I've seen on the gameplay side, the camera is quite zoomed out at most times, which it will look good, but you don't get to see like the fine level of detail in the little models, which these screenshots I'm showing are. They're just kind of really zoomed up at some of these models, like, you know, the that dragon boss. And you can like see the little scales on his face as well. But in terms of the game itself, it looks like they've obviously taken that basic template which they put together in 3D World and just, you know, expanding on it. And this is, I think, one of the games which I think really kind of paid off that they showed it on the live Treehouse beyond just the digital event itself. Because I wasn't that excited for this game, purely seeing the trailer. But once I saw it being played for 20 minutes or so, I kind of really got it and saw that they've put a lot more just thought into the levels and hidden objects and just clever designs and so on. And yeah, and the game just has really cool charm on its own. I think it should be interesting kind of how they price it, because I still think a lot of people look at this as a full-priced box release and go, I think that's a bit too much, that should be a lot less, it should just be, as you said, DLC to Mario 3D World, or it should be something else, but it'd be interesting to see just quite how much content is in this.
As in, you think this might be one of those fairly short retail games?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, like, it's priced more along the, when they do that kind of the brain training type price range, where it's, like, you know, a discount from the get-go, and that's just the price it's going to be. But it just depends how big it is, really. I mean, if it's big enough to justify the full price, then I'm happy for it.
I think there should be a fair amount of content into this. I mean, judging from the trailer, like I said, is that it does appear that, you know, Captain Toad's going to be in some arenas or like levels that where you're using puzzles to beat bosses. So, and plus, it's just at first, remember, I thought this was like, oh, just more and more Captain Toad levels. I mean, these are more larger puzzles that you have to deal with, so... And I think that, I mean, they're upping, like, you know, Captain Toad's little arsenal that he can use. Well, actually, does he have an arsenal?
I think that's the thing in this. He doesn't have an arsenal. Ooh. Although he can, like, he can pick up objects now. Pick up turnips and throw them. But on his own, he can do nothing but run around. He can't
just
even
like,
jump.
Yeah, the Toad that we know and love.
It'll be interesting to see like how boss battles go when, you know, Toad doesn't have a lot of options. But, you know, there was that part in the trailer where he's in a minecart, and as you're like going along this minecart track, you can use the gamepad to like move around and aim and shoot something at, you know, enemies and things. So that will be interesting. I actually have a question though. So is this definitely going to be a physical release, or is it going to be like eShop only?
It's physical.
Yeah, because I thought the same thing at first, but then eventually I found some box art for it. So I went, ah, so it is going to be physical.
Huh.
My thoughts exactly initially. And then I was won over from a really good demo of it at the Treehouse.
I still haven't seen that one. I'm still in the middle of, you know, just trying to get through all of these Treehouse demos. All of them are very interesting to watch, and I have really enjoyed what I have seen, but, you know, I still got a lot to go. Still got Mario Maker, Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, and at least a couple more. I just can't remember them. But yeah, I'm excited. Actually, the trailer for Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker did kind of excite me, especially with that scene at the end where Toad is like riding on top of that dragon boss's head, and there's all this like all these sparks flying around, and I'm all like, what the heck is going on? It actually looks surprisingly epic. So I think there might be a surprising amount of content and depth to this game.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely hoping so. And to go along that theme, there was a surprising amount of content in this digital event, because we're still going. We've still not covered it all yet. And there were still lots they talked about beyond it. So we also got an official name for X now. Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Which I'm not a huge fan of, admittedly.
No, and also I noticed
what the game, what the past game, or just the title?
Title, I imagine. Sorry, Holly?
That's the title for the game, Xenoblade Chronicles
X. Oh, yeah,
X.
It is. Sorry, I think we must have missed that. Harrison asked if, should we just carry on, shall we?
What did you ask? No, I'm curious.
I asked, were you disappointed in the name of the title or the previous game of the series, Xenoblade Chronicles?
Oh, it was, it's the title. I loved Xenoblade Chronicles. I've spent like over 200 hours, which is more than I've spent in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. So yeah, I loved Xenoblade Chronicles. I think Xenoblade Chronicles X. I think it'll be great. I'm just not a huge fan of the title.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Honestly thought that this title was going to be called, you know, Xenogears Chronicle, like, you know, like one of like the members from Monolithsoft when they started with Square on the PlayStation, they played a game that was Xenogears. I thought that was going to be a spiritual sequel to that.
That would be great. Yeah.
Seb, in addition to the change of name, the game also seems to have a bit of a change in graphical style, unless I'm the only one who's noticing this.
Are you talking about the characters, like, you know, faces?
Yeah, in terms of, yeah, the faces, they seem, I can't quite pinpoint it, but they are different.
It's very Miyazaki-like, I mean, as far as the face, but no, if you watch, like, the first trailer reveal for X, there is that one character's head that comes up to the shadows.
That's right.
It's very similar, it's pretty similar to that.
Ah, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, the actual, kind of, the beginning of the trailer, I didn't actually quite catch on it was for this game, just because it was, you know, it was set in space, and there was a lot of, like, spaceship combat, or at least not so obvious mech combat, and so that's the actual space aspect is something we've not quite seen, or at least not as much before.
I actually caught on right away that it was going to be Xenoblade, or, you know, X, whatever it was going to be called, because of the music. The music started playing, and as soon as it was done typing out Elma and then the password or whatever on that initial screen, I was like, Xenoblade Chronicles X, just because, you know, I just have that connection with music, I guess. So I knew right away, thanks to the soundtrack.
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, it seems like this game's going to be possibly even bigger than we were anticipating. I mean, again, if you go over some of the official screenshots they've released, they've just got some, like, really detailed, like, ships and so on, which wasn't really a focus of the previous game at all.
We do know that in that early portion of the trailer that the Earth is destroyed, so
yeah.
That explains, basically, from the previous trailers, you know, where this world is taking place.
True, which, without saying too much, makes me think this cannot be a sequel to the previous game.
Well, I think it's a prequel.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. Without saying too much, this must be a prequel to Xenoblade, if they are actually related beyond name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know, something in the Treehouse Live presentation of the game, they mentioned something like this game actually details some of the events that lead up to Xenoblade Chronicles for Wii.
So, like, the very last 5 minutes of the game, then.
It'll be awesome if they connect the two games somehow. Oh, wow. That will just be amazing.
Yeah. That'd be pretty crazy. And so, I mean, it seems that we've actually kind of just seen and experienced a lot of this game over the years. I'm just quite ready for it to be out and to play it. But, yeah, this still looks as good as it always has.
Yeah, do you think this game is pushing the Wii U the hardest out of all the games we've seen, graphically? Do you think it's the most impressive-looking game?
I reckon it could be. I reckon that the real test is going to be on, like, how impressive those, like, vistas can be. You like, run the top of a mountain and, like, look behind you of the world you've just travelled. I think it's going to have, like, the biggest world of a Wii U game has so far, so... Yeah, I think it possibly could be the best-looking Wii U game.
Until Zelda, possibly.
Yeah, of course, true. Yeah. But they, again, also have very different art styles. I think more could be happening in Xenoblade Chronicles X with, like, the mess of mechs and spaceships and all the other stuff going on at the same time. But I think Zelda will put up some stiff competition on that action sequence we saw. I'm still quite taken aback by that. I really don't know how close to real gameplay that could be or not.
It was a little fast-paced. I thought, wow, running away from that monster is going to be frightening.
And just coming out of nowhere as well. Just in the middle of the field he was.
I think I saw someone on Twitter, it might have been you, Harrison, say something like lasers. Seriously, lasers? That's just weird.
Laser? Wait, lasers during the Zelda trailer?
Yeah, the monster is just, like, shooting laser beams out of its eye, which I am not so hot on, but, you know, the final game, I'm sure, will be amazing.
Well,
so.
I mean, the thing I wanted to talk about during that first reveal during the event is we got a lengthy discussion about, you know, from Eiji Onoma, what they wanted to do to change the Zelda formula. And the thing that they mentioned was the original Zelda, how you could go to any dungeon that you want and... basically any area that you went to, enemies always, you never knew what type of enemies were going to pop up. Well, not to say that was conventional in 3D Zelda titles, it's just, they wanted to create the surprise, like a bit of the surprise that they had in the first title, because, and they moved on to Wind Waker to talk about, is like, yes, they tried to recreate that, what they had with the original Zelda is, there was always a one point in areas that you could only enter. You couldn't go to, when you saw like a large object or an island, you couldn't say like, oh, I want to go to this part of the, like, the building, like, this, structure, that it was not possible. There was always one way to enter and one way to get out. And once, you know, Onuma had snapped his fingers during the, like, you know, the presentation, and we had seen that world, the first thing I paid attention to was the grass.
Yeah,
that was it.
Prettiest grass I've seen.
It was alright.
Oh, I seen better.
It was okay.
We're talking about grass now.
The Legend of Zelda, the blowing grass. There's your title.
Right there, blooming grass. Love it. I'd buy that.
I think we need the word epic in there somewhere.
When we saw that initial shot of that field, a couple of the details I saw in that was like, you know, to the right of it, you saw goats and a farmer, and then even few cottages. And even if you look closely enough, I think you could probably see Death Mountain.
Yeah, no, I think it was in the distance. And the only reason why I picked up on these details because I watched a kind of a rewind feature of it. But yeah, they were showing how Death Mountain it was kind of surrounded in a desert, which is a first in the series. But yeah, there was just so many details you could see if you kind of zoom into these different locations. And it's just kind of a feat in itself of just like how good it can look in high definition. Just because if you just glanced at a normal screenshot of a Zelda game, you wouldn't be able to see all these different locations in the overworld. It's you're just like kind of seeing these like tiny silhouettes in the distance. But on this, a single snapshot, you could pinpoint a load of different locations and the details within them.
Oh yeah, the draw distance from that early mode. I mean, it's early is just spectacular. But it all comes down to how the product's going to be. And one thing I wanted to ask is they even Onuma mentioned was the puzzle solving in the series is probably going to change based on the whole open world aspect, because I think it's like once you start, you're solving a puzzle itself.
Did anyone else, when I first saw the opening shot, he snapped his fingers, there it was. Did you see? But the first thought that crossed my mind was, you can definitely see that there's a Skyrim influence.
Yeah.
Did anybody else think that?
I did see that, and when I posted an Infindo initially, there was a reader that was pretty upset with the fact that this is like, oh, this is Skyrim, and I think Holly jumped into it.
Yeah, kinda. I know what Skyrim looks like, and maybe in terms of visuals, it's pretty close to Skyrim, but, you know, I think it'll still just be Zelda, and it'll still, I don't know. What, let's see, Skyrim, that's... What is Skyrim exactly, gameplay-wise? It's not Zelda, nice. Is it?
Skyrim is an open-world RPG. That's all I can tell you.
Wow. I don't think Zelda is... I don't think this Zelda is going to be very close to that kind of gameplay at all.
The Zelda series has been known to be, like, an action-oriented... an action-adventure title with RPG elements.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any risk of it becoming a Skyrim, whether that's a good or a bad thing.
Maybe Skyrim was the one that copied Zelda in the first place, so there! Snap.
Yeah, I'm sure Skyrim has some very heavy Zelda influences.
But, I mean, aside from, like, the initial shot we saw there, you know, and then Anuma went on there, you know, to say in English that about, like, when it came to enemies appearing on screen at random, and he said, like, I think we can keep that convention right with a thumbs up, and then we just... go with him off screen, it's peaceful, and more details come into it. You see, like, a found a thought, like, sound something in the distance, and you see a flock of birds fly away. And then, like I said, Holly said, you see the first few lasers, and then you see the bit, like, the herder and his goats run away, and then we just get into what I think, which I know Miyamoto and Anuma said that this was all in-engine, but I could definitely see that this was a cinematic, like, you know, in-game cinematic.
Yeah, yeah.
But the first bit of details I saw, like, once that creature started shooting its lasers and all these flames started coming up through the grass, which you could see the grass burning, it was very vibrant in colors, though. But first, we see Link, again, that was the one thing that I think it was a controversy, was whether or not this was Link, but I'll get to that later. Then we see the creature take out this, like, you know, small bridge by a creek, and then we get that reveal of Link, and first thing I say is, like, where is his green garb and tunic?
I was going to say, yeah, he's not wearing his usual hero outfit.
And more importantly, where's the sword?
Ooh.
He has no sword, not even on his back.
Also, he pulled the bow with his right hand. Now, I'm like, is this going to be another right-handed Link? Does that mean... Some sort of...
Link has been traditionally left-handed, but yeah, I think
this,
after
this is the
mirrored
version.
but no, we get that, and I. This is the thing that's kind of led me to believe is that I think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on archery in this game. I mean, the use of the bow.
And to be fair, I think that could make quite a lot of sense with the Wii U controls, because it is going to be, I assume, you know, using the gamepad opposed to a Wii remote. You can do some cool archery aiming. Just kind of by moving the gamepad around, like, ever so slightly in front of you. Whereas it doesn't replicate a sword very well. So maybe they will do the shift from, you know, making the bow your main weapon, and that would definitely be a interesting shift. It's maybe we're jumping to conclusions here, which is very, very likely, but it could happen.
I can't assume getting rid of the sword entirely, but...
But once we got to the initial reveal of Link's face and design on there, which... First thing that kind of came to my mind, like, two things, was they're building off the Skyward Sword design, but with the cell shading, and obviously there's a little bit of cell shading to this, because I think that's where they are able to give more emotion and reaction out of Link's face. And once we saw, like, the face out there, I mean, especially, and the scene leading up to it, it reminded me of the beginning of Princess Mononoke. There was a video comparing the side by side, and yes, the design... And the visual style does remind me of the Miyazaki anime.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. No. And, I mean, what was everybody's take on the short glimpse of Link's design?
I quite liked it. I mean, yeah. I liked how it was different. But yeah, I mean, well, it's just such a badass introduction to Link on that one. I mean, he's like kind of riding on, I assume it's a pony, but riding a horse, under hood, as it were, and then he just like... pulls that off, jumps off his horse, takes his bow out, was transforming bow apparently, and just lands a single shot into the robot's eye. I mean, and that's what we see as his reveal.
We're calling it a robot now.
I don't know, it looks like a kind of robot to me. Yeah, it fires lasers and it's got like like they're mechanical legs.
It could be, and also I think Link is channeling his inner Hawkeye right now. I mean, with the way the bow comes, it's Hawkeye.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I do like the contrast to how it looks like it's been buried for some time as well. But it has this like high tech component to it, and yeah, just how it's you know, just blasting the forest around it. Yeah, very bright and colourful. I like this approach. I like it's how it's not as dark and dreary as Twilight Princess, and it's not so family friendly. It's Wind Waker. It's really good balance, much more so than Skyward Sword was.
I would say I actually have a brother, my older brother, the trailer today. Anyway, oh, so it's a female Link this time.
See, I didn't get that, but I've heard that opinion a lot.
And I'm like, is it? Are you sure?
No, Anuma. Oh no, Anuma was originally quoted this week. I forgot what site it was, but they had mentioned about an interview with them. It's like they were questioning, like, you know, Link's attire, and then Anuma's response was, "Nobody said that was Link specifically." And
exactly. Yeah.
That led to a bunch of rumors, and then Anuma about a day later cleared it up, saying, "Yes, that is indeed Link, and he is male."
Yes, I was just doing a joke. Because of course it's Link and Zelda.
Oh no, that would be great—an actual Zelda game that stars Zelda. Well,
no, we don't need that.
Oh yeah, we got that before. We got that once. Before.
Exactly. Don't talk about that.
However, this could make a nice transition point actually, because a game that they also focused a lot of effort on is Hyrule Warriors, where you can play Zelda.
Oh, yes.
As one of the playable characters, which was announced alongside Midna and... I can't remember who the last one was.
Impa.
And Impa, yes.
Impa, that's it.
I assume there's going to be more playable characters to come, but they are the four so far, obviously also including Link. And I think this time, this kind of showing of Hyrule Warriors has kind of finally convinced me to pick this up. Before, I was a bit worried it was just going to be a one-trick pony where you are literally just slashing enemy after enemy without anything in between. But again, thanks to these Treehouse live demonstrations, that they showed off that there's actually a bunch of like side missions you do in each proper mission. And they showed off like some really epic fan service where Link is basically trying to take down this dragon boss, which was from... Twilight Princess?
Yeah.
I can't think of the name.
It's Aragog.
That's the one, yeah.
That's it. Yep.
And long story short, ends up taking it down with the aid of a great fairy, basically pulling down the moon from Majora's Mask and smashing it onto the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And my after kind of lifting my jaw from the ground after that sight, I realised this is a game I'd have to purchase.
Well, after that moon's face when it comes back and it haunts me forever.
Yeah, I mean, if they're prepared to do that, I don't know whatever sort of Zelda just goodies are going to be in this, in terms of just pulling old characters in weird ways.
There were a lot of Majora's Mask teases that day. First, that trailer, like, that was showing the moon, and then Zelda Williams coming out for the celebrity, like, tournament during the Smash Brothers Invitational, carrying out a model, like, Majora's Mask. And at that point, I was thinking, like, is this the unannounced 3DS game that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, no.
But I'm with you on this, Lewis. This has kind of changed my mind. I mean, when this was first announced back in December, I really wasn't impressed because, you know, a Zelda title was not really... built on combat alone. It was always first puzzle solving and the world that you explored, and combat always came second. And thankfully this one, I mean, as someone who really didn't care for the Dynasty Warriors series, I'm intrigued. But also I'm kinda glad knowing with Midna's appearance in this Hyrule Warriors is not canon, so it doesn't mess with the Zelda canon any more than it has in the past.
I would say it's quite an eclectic character selection. I always thought, if you're going to have Midna, why not have the grown-up Midna at the end of Twilight Princess?
I wouldn't be surprised if we also have them. I reckon this game is going to have a surprising amount of playable characters.
You think of alternate versions?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I bet there's going to be alternate modes of a bunch of different characters.
Do you think we'll have more than one Link?
Yeah, I reckon we
will. Two Link.
And I reckon we're going to have a fierce DT Link in there as well. Deity Link.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, God.
I don't know how they could pass up on that opportunity. It would just
make... Nice.
I mean, the game would almost make more sense if you exclusively played as him.
Yeah. Wacky, but yeah.
Yeah, I reckon they're going to be searching the back catalogs for any of the interesting Zelda characters.
I think it's pretty much guaranteed that Ganon will be a playable character, because he's not the main bad guy in this, not the main villain. So it's like he can be playable.
That's also a very good point.
Why not? Yeah.
I know. I think they had announced it before, but they also showed off the local multiplayer mode where one person plays on the TV and the other person plays on the gamepad. And I just think that, as simple as it is, that's pretty smart use to do that local co-op. Because I think if you do have a buddy who would like to play this game, it will make it a lot more fun as well.
Yeah, as a person who's played two-player on Dynasty Warriors games before, when it goes split-screen in the old games, there's usually quite a bit of slowdown.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Having to do different screens at the same time. But I noticed in the Wii U, what they showed us, was the Wii U one.
Yeah.
No slowdown at all. It was running perfectly fine. Great, they've actually solved it.
That was the problem with Fast Dynasty Warrior titles, because so many characters on screen, you were going to get such a huge dip in frame rate.
Yeah.
And this one is slated for September, I believe, here in the States and UK?
It's the 26th of September, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that comes to my mind too.
So it is one of the few games coming out this year.
Yay.
But saying that, we've said that to more than a couple of them now. So yeah, it's... Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a miss that there wasn't like a kind of a big game reveal kind of in the vein of 3D World was last year to fill up the holiday slot.
I think Smash Brothers is the game that takes care of that, though.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, because not only does it come out on the Wii U, but obviously there's a 3DS version, and we also got a new Pokemon game as well for the 3DS, and there's a surprising amount of stuff if you are open-minded. and actually look around at the full catalogue. So I think we've kind of covered the games which were announced on the actual digital event itself. So like immediately afterwards, they announced IGN had the exclusive on the Devil's Third reveal, and I think on the Treehouse they immediately went into Mario Party 10, which I missed.
I can't believe there's 10 of those games now. Well. More if you count the handheld.
That is a very good point.
Isn't this running numbered series that Nintendo has?
It must be. Nintendo does, yes.
It must be. Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
I mean, I guess it's kind of also its first numbered one, unless I make something stupid.
Yeah.
Because, they normally avoid the numbers, or else a lot of their games would have really big numbers. Probably a game series have really big numbers next to them.
Mario 28, yeah.
Exactly. But it looks like they are at least introducing some new things. It's going to have a new 5-player local mode where one person takes control of the gamepad and is Bowser. And basically just messes around with all the other players playing proper Mario Party.
That sounds interesting.
So I'm not sure how he wins, or if he can.
The only way that makes me buy this iteration is if it has online. I can't... I mean, I understand they're trying to keep this local... and there's a special feeling to it, but I really, really want to see Mario Party played online.
This is true, but what if, because they've already announced that it is going to have amiibo support, what if this means that you can play as your favourite Smash characters in Mario Party 10? Because I think this could be one of the few games where they would let you do it.
Well, so it'd be like Smash Party?
Essentially, because I don't think we'll see it in Mario Kart, and it's... almost impossible we'll see that in Yoshi's Woolly World, or I can't remember what the other game was that they announced which would also support amiibo. But I think this is one of the only games which we might have a chance of actually bringing in new characters to a series which wouldn't normally be in there.
I still find that doubtful.
Okay.
See, I always thought it'd be great if Mario Kart turned into Smash Kart. That'd be great. I love playing it.
No, don't get me wrong, I think that would be awesome, but I don't think we see it just because of the huge roster that Smash Bros. Has. It would obviously be a sizable amount of work to put into another game.
Yeah, I think this game has the largest roster.
I just thought, because in Mario Party, the actual characters don't mean anything. They don't play differently at all.
No.
They are basically skins of each other, so I thought maybe they'd be able to just kind of DLC that into it.
I can't see it. We'll have to see. It'd be good they did.
Yeah. But I was actually, if we have a little amiibo conversation, we'll have a bit of speculation on what the usages could be. I was thinking for Mario Kart, because I don't think they will be able to do the different characters. I was thinking maybe they will be able to do different carts. So you could have carts inspired by the amiibo figure you have. And for the characters which are in the game, like Mario, you might just give them a really cool, you know, Mario-specific cart. But I reckon maybe you could have, like, a Kirby-themed cart or a Link-themed cart, because we already know that they can do vehicle DLC, because they had that weird... Was it Mercedes cross-promotion in Japan?
Yes, they did have that. Mm-hmm.
So if they can do that, I don't see why they can't do Nintendo character-themed carts.
It'd be cool if they could take, like, the R-Wing from Star Fox.
Exactly.
And Samus's ship.
See, that's what I was thinking.
And actually make those into carts.
So, yeah, I'm hoping it would do something like that. I'm a bit fearful that it would just kind of, like, save your cart customization preference or something really silly like that. Does anyone have, like, any, like, just ideas in general of how these can be used cross-platform or cross-game?
On your last point, I was thinking, how would you do... Say you have Ike as your amiibo, would it generate a horse? How would that work?
Sorry, say that again?
you're saying...
It would be basically kind of like you get the Yoshi cycle in Mario Kart 8. It'd be like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, do we have any other amiibo speculation? Or should we just...
Here's a ridiculous one.
Ooh, I like the sound of
in
that.
Yoshi's World... Oh my gosh. In Yoshi's Woolly World, if it's like Kirby's Epic Yarn and you can collect furniture and, like, decorate your place or whatever,
yes.
Maybe there could be, like, some Nintendo-themed furniture that you can get by scanning your amiibo, like a Samus figure for your house. Just a thought.
Yep, no, I think that's a way, because just, like, the inclusion of certain games like that just kind of really threw me in. How are they going to try and possibly have some sort of cohesive experience between them? These games are, like, the most opposite things you could think of. But yeah, I'm very intrigued to find out what they have planned. And basically, when they kind of plan to kind of retrofit Mario Kart 8, will it be ready for launch of Amiibo? Or will we have to wait a bit longer?
I'm sure we're going to get a direct detailing more about Amiibo and its pricing and when it will be available. So,
yeah, hopefully then they'll let us know the Mario Kart 8 stuff as well. Because it's obviously a game that we already own at this point.
Yeah, and I think it's going to release for Mario Kart 8 when it releases for Super Smash Bros. That's just my thought and maybe a hope, but...
Well, it makes sense. I hope that's what they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some other games that we haven't really talked about, some smaller ones. Is there anything specific that people want to discuss?
Codename Steam, the unannounced 3DS title that we got by Intelligent Systems.
Yeah, so it also looks like this game might have a bit of a Valkyria Chronicles influence, if anyone's played that turn-based strategy game for the PS3.
Yeah, it's very good.
So yeah, I mean, it's by the Advance Wars and Fire Emblem guys, but instead of a top-view grid-based strategy game, it seems to be kind of a hybrid action game, like a third-person shooter type game. But it also has those strategy elements where you can only walk so far, and you do still take turns, as it were. And it's using this really cool comic book style, and it's quite different to the other types of work they've been doing. And it's, you know, it's a brand new IP. I know I was like secretly, well, not secretly, I was shouting on this podcast, I was really hoping for a new Advance Wars game, but I am pleasantly surprised that they are doing something new. I mean, I know a lot of Nintendo fans are always asking for the sequel or a remake to their most favorite game or series.
Isn't that kind of odd, knowing that when before this 3DS title was revealed, many were clamoring for like a 3DS Majora's Mask or Metroid or Advance Wars. I mean, I'd be happy with that.
Exactly, but you can't be disappointed when they actually do bring you something genuinely new, especially when it's a new IP as well.
Yeah, but there were fans out there that were visibly upset that this was what they got. I'm like, it's very odd. It's like, it's backwards. It's like a full. It's backwards. It's like, oh, here's your regular IPs. Make something new. Oh, here's something new. It's like, where's a remake of this? It's like...
yeah.
just play it. I mean, Majora's Mask exists. Just play the game.
The only thing that worried me when this was announced as Intelligent Systems was making this was the one game that I was shocked that was not shown in any form was Shin Megami Tensei X Fire Emblem. And
that's right.
But luckily, you know, Intelligent Systems said it's coming along right now. So it's still there.
Well, yeah, I imagine the team... I think it's confirmed that it's going to be the Fire Emblem Awakening team, as it were, which is making this game. So I assume within Intelligent Systems. They have console and portable divisions, as it were. So yeah, I doubt this is affecting the progress of that. But yeah, I mean, that is a game which we didn't hear a glimpse out of beyond a verbal confirmation that the game does exist and is progressing. So yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that it will be a 2015 game or it's going to be pushed beyond that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of codename Steam, I'm pretty excited for this. And it looked like it could be a pretty awesome online game as well.
Mm. I mean, we've gotten Splatoon and this, and also Miyamoto's new projects as well. So, I mean, we've got some new IPs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Miyamoto's projects, yeah. I think that's kind of a good thing to move on to.
Segue.
Project Giant Robot and Project Guard.
Oh, of course. So this was odd. I mean, so this was technically revealed by Time Magazine's website just before the digital event, or about an hour before, and then it was pulled.
And one of them being the major ones was Star Fox, by the way.
Yeah, and apparently they all do kind of link together. Like, the other two games have Star Fox emblems hidden within them. And so it might be that all those three kind of prototypes are actually going to be, like, one the full package at one point. Which, there is odd mix to slam together, but I'm getting the hints that might be what's going to happen.
Well, we were teased about Star Fox at the end of the digital event, where it showed Miyamoto playing the gamepad of a game which was blurred out on the TV screen, and which we can tell from the little outline, the blurred images on there, that this was Star Fox, but... All we know is it's coming out in 2015, but also Nintendo's trying to find a right developer to pick up this, to finish it.
So we've kind of just, they showed kind of three demos of these different concepts. Holly, would you, I think I'm going to struggle to, would you be able to describe these?
Well, let's see, Project Giant Robot was the first one to be shown for Treehouse Live. The idea is that you have, I mean, Nintendo has talked about, like, utilizing the gamepad more and better and, you know, just making some use of the extra screen and stuff. And so in Project Giant Robot, you're actually kind of like in the cockpit, as in like in the head of this giant robot, and you're holding the gamepad. You actually use the gamepad to move to kind of like sway your body around. You use the control sticks to move the robot's arms, and you just try to like kind of reach out and tip over other robots. And if you get tipped over yourself, then you've lost. And it actually looks a lot harder than you would expect. It also looks like it's going to make a fool out of all of us, you know, like standing there with our gamepad, leaning forward, leaning backward. And so it actually looks pretty fun. I think the idea is to kind of like put your arms out and get some leverage underneath the other robots that you're fighting and, you know, lean in a way that tips them over before they can tip you over. So that looks all right. And then Project Guard, you have like a base, a kind of a security base set up, and you can actually set up your own cameras. There's 12 cameras that you have to set up, and you place them yourself. And then when the game starts, you have like the middle of the screen shows the camera that you're currently on, but you can switch between all the cameras, and all the cameras are kind of bordering the main camera that you're on. And so you kind of have to see where these little robots are incoming from and shoot down the robots with the lasers that come out of these cameras. So it's kind of a multitasking type of game, a game where, you know, people in the living room with you can say like, oh, camera 7, in case you don't see like this robot coming in for close to camera 7. And yeah, there's a couple of different types of robots, and you're just supposed to destroy a set amount of a certain type of robot. And so the demonstration of both of these games made them look pretty fun. And yeah, I'll probably be getting them. I kind of wonder if they're both going to end up as full-blown games, you know, like physical games, or if they're just going to be eShop games or what. So I'll leave that discussion up to you guys if you'd like.
I think I'm just going to go off on Lewis saying that these three titles may be just combined into one, which I think is going to be Star Fox.
Yeah, I think these are going to be like, those two are going to be like bonus modes for the next Star Fox game. And they'll just be kind of Star Fox themed at that point. Which I guess makes some sense in terms of they're all using like machines, just like, you know, robots, and that kind of fits with Star Fox. And it's like a silly approach, so it's not something which would fit into Metroid or something, or F-Zero, as it were. But yeah, I think that's kind of where it sits. And yeah, I think that the Star Fox emblem is already on like some of the machines in the games already. So I think that's might be what happens with it.
I mean, even though we didn't get a new Metroid announced here, Nintendo did, I think, did kind of clear up everything about what's going on with the series, and they mentioned that they want to actually, I think, yeah, they said they are moving along with a 3D and a 2D title in the series, so, but they were very vague as far as...
Yeah, or at least they would like to. I'm not sure how they worded it.
Yeah.
They said that they want to do it, or they are starting it right now. I mean, they haven't forgotten about the series.
Well, Miyamoto said that there's more to be done with the Prime series. Which
took me aback, actually.
Yeah, I was like, is it? But, yeah, if there's big enough Prime game, then great.
Yeah.
Although, I do believe Retro's probably working on something different at this point, but, I mean, I then again, I thought they were working on something different until we got Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. But, yeah, Miyamoto revealed that he's more of a fan of the... Well, actually, that might be twisting his words there. But I think he was asked whether he would like to see a new Metroid game or a new 2D Metroid game. And he said, he would choose a new Prime game because he believes there is more to be done in that franchise, which they have yet to do. So I think that's a very positive sign that the next console game, the next console Metroid game will be a more Prime-esque game opposed to a 2D one, which they might reserve for the the portable.
Okay, so... speculation. If it is Prime 4, who would you like to see develop it?
Oh, actually, after those comments, I think EAD would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting take on it.
EAD would be good on that one. The first thought I'd say is like, oh, use Retro, but I really want to see Retro do something, an original IP or something to flex themselves, because they have the talent to actually kind of create something of a new, different, like, vast and detailed worlds.
Yeah,
but if I had to say somebody, it needs to be somebody outside of Nintendo to do this. Oh boy, and I can't think of a name that probably could work with it. Maybe Platinum could probably do something, but again, they're busy with other projects as well, so, and they could be handed probably even Star Fox, for instance, to help finish that out, since Miyamoto said they need another developer to help finish up the game.
That's right, yeah, and Hideki Kamiya said he would love to make a Star Fox game.
Oh, this is true. I think he redacted that statement after fans were pestering him for it.
Yeah. True.
So we also had a few smaller announcements, like we've got confirmation that Fantasy Life from Level 5 is actually coming out into the West, and it's actually coming sooner than we might expect. I think it's an October release. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Life is getting
it is,
which is pretty cool because I don't believe they had talked about it before now. But it almost seems... because that's like another life sim game on the 3DS. And it seems like we've got a lot of those now. With Tomodachi Live and Animal Crossing and now Fantasy Life. And there's probably some others I'm missing out.
Is this the game that was demoed in a Professor Layton game? Like an early build of it?
One we didn't get. So odd how you should mention it.
Yeah, London Life, isn't it?
I think it was... Layton 3, it must have been?
I think so.
No, 4? Or 3 for 3 or 4. Yeah, it had this whole other mode, which was its own game.
Yeah.
London Life. But it never got translated into the Europe version, just because the amount of text which was in it.
Is it in North America, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It came out in Japan and North America, but we didn't get it over here. I was disappointed at the time.
Yeah.
It looked really good. But yeah, I think it is based off of... well, I think it's the sequel that was based off of.
Yeah.
So you know, apparently it's really good. So if you're into that type of game, then yeah, good news all around. Is there any other announcements people want to talk about?
We did get, I think, a localized version of Fossil Fighters.
Oh yeah, of course we did.
Okay, I watched the trailer for that. The song was so cheesy. I just I can't imagine ever wanting to buy that game after that song.
You know you want it, Holly. You know you want the game.
No. Oh no! Don't make me get it.
We did get Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright, and I think this is a... this is not the first one that's coming to the States, is it? Or is this the second or third one?
This is the Versus game, which was mentioned. And so, this is the one which is already out in Europe, and it's coming out in America August 29th of this year. I'm not sure why it's taken so long.
Well, as a supplementary, we're getting Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Oh, this is, that's true, yeah.
As a digital release only. I was like, oh, I've been waiting for that game for ages.
And I think it's going to be a huge download, I think. I think that's a really big game in terms of file size.
I'm going to get a bigger SD card.
Yeah, we are finally getting that, and I'll be able to play it, finally.
I don't see, why could it take so long? I don't understand.
I don't know, maybe.
It may just the amount of languages,
Translating and localizing stuff like that takes a bit of time, so that's one of the reasons.
It's very text heavy, so.
Well, we got Fantasy Life, that's one thing that I noticed that, aside from, Codename Steam and the new Pokemon titles in Phoenix Wright versus Professor Layton, we haven't really gotten a lot of other major 3DS titles coming out in the fall.
No, we don't. I mean, yeah, it does seem like they pulled their resources from 3DS and chucked them all onto the Wii U projects. Obviously, we got some big ones, Smash Bros. Also coming out to the 3DS. We do have the Ruby and Sapphire remakes also coming out, similar time slot. So it's got some of the big hits, but it doesn't have necessarily those smaller games to pad out the line.
Do you think that, because the release dates are different for Smash Bros., for the Wii U and 3DS?
But not so much now, unless the Wii U one unfortunately gets delayed again.
It's coming out in October?
Yes, right? October 3rd is for the States.
Right, do you think that'll hamper the Wii U version sales?
I think if they would have released them at the same time, it probably would. One of those two would have gotten lost in it. Because Sakurai had mentioned why they were releasing them at different times, or why the 3DS version was coming out first, was because between a console and a handheld, the debug teams vary in size, whereas the ones for the Wii U, it's very larger and it takes more time, and with the 3DS version, it's taking a little less effort as far as to debug it, so I think that's the reason why they wanted to do that.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to affect sales. It's a tricky one to call, really. There seems to be pros and cons on both sides of releasing one in front of the other.
Yeah.
But they're both just very near that holiday slot now. I think they'll just both do quite well. Well, I think they'll both do very well, really.
Do you think it's time to end the show with Smash Brothers talk? I mean, there's quite a bit of news related to that, aside from Amiibo support and Mii support as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very decisive decision. So Smash Bros. Will be the final game we'll talk about. So have we even mentioned the new character reveals yet?
No.
Because we had three of them. I'm going to have to work backwards here, because my brain's being fuzzy. But the third of the three they announced was Pac-Man from Namco, obviously, who is actually developing the game.
That's the reason I wasn't surprised by it. I knew that character was somehow going to find its way in there because Namco Bandai was helping develop this.
Yeah, we should have seen this coming a mile away.
Lot of sense. I mean, obviously, Sam, I just brought up the three. Obviously, we have talked a little bit already about the Miis, which are appearing in Smash Bros., which obviously fills in one of those three slots. And the third character is Lady Palutena from Kid Icarus.
Which was introduced in a beautiful hand-drawn animated sequence, and I want that to be a show so bad.
The Smash Bros.
They do have those little cartoons that they put on Nintendo Video for a little while, like Palutena's Revolting Dinner.
That's right, yeah.
Which I really liked. They should do more. They should make more out of that, because I think that the characters are great. I think the fact that Pit is so devoted to Palutena is one of the funniest sources of humor, I guess, that comes from Uprising anyway. But the thing with Palutena is that, when you think about it, it's not that surprising. For one thing, I think the roster needed a little bit more of a feminine touch, some more female characters.
Absolutely.
And another thing, Sakurai directed Kid Icarus Uprising, so not too surprising.
But what about the end of the
set? I was going to say, the end,
The end where it shows Dark Pit, which I'm leading to believe either this is going to be an alternate skin for Pit.
Yeah, it can't be another character. It's such a blatant clue. I mean, he's called Dark Pit for one, but
yeah,
they can't use a slot on him. But yeah, I think he'll make some appearance. I'm not sure how though.
It'll be like Dark Link. He's an alternate skin for Link.
Oh, actually, I think I've got it. You know the Yellow Devil that appears on Mega Man stage.
Yeah, that could be a boss character. So
I reckon Dark Pit is the boss of Palutena stage.
That'd be cool.
We also got another, well, it hasn't been put on the website, but at the end of the Pac-Man trailer, we did get an appearance by Mr. Game & Watch.
Yeah, I'd see a lot of people have just gone out and confirmed, like said, he's confirmed for Smash. But, you know, he doesn't have a character approaching slot on the site or anything. So he's not officially, you know, in quotations, announced. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
I did like at the end though how it just in writing it just like to both Pac-Man and Mr. Game Watch showed 1980, and then the bottom right corner it showed Mario's hat, and then the top of Donkey Kong's hat 1981. Only thing I kind of thought to myself was with Mr. Game and Watch, you know, that confused look whatever on him as that drawing 1980s on there. I just gotta think. You think Pac-Man's probably thinking, like, you know, get on my level right now. I was way more popular than you.
Yeah, and also just way more advanced even at the time. At least he had color.
True.
I was kind of glad they went with the 3D design with this character, as opposed to just, oh, it's just the sprite.
It's just the mouth, yeah.
But also, it's just when I saw the first screenshot of that, when it just showed Mega Man, Sonic, Mario, and Pac-Man on there, and yeah. Thinking back to when I was a kid, like, who would have thought that would have been possible?
Yeah. Yes, that's the modern legacy of video games right there.
I know. I think the 1990s is probably, as far as a console war, is rolling in its grave right now. But it's, no, there's quite a few abilities on there. I mean, you'd think, like, with Pac-Man, like, what is he going to do aside from the Waka Waka kind of thing, like, you know, eating bit? But, you know, he'll pull out various sprites, be it the ghosts from Pac-Man, or what we saw later on, you know, different sprites from all sorts of, like, Namco games from the 80s. And, I think whatever, I mean, it, in that we saw, like, a Pac-Man stage in the 3DS, and quite other, like, simple stage, like, other stages on there, I think, that are Namco-inspired.
Yeah, I'm assuming, yeah, the Pac-Man stage on the 3DS looks awesome. I'm not sure what, or if there's a Wii U equivalent. I hope there would be some, you know, stage representation for Pac-Man on the Wii U, but I'm not sure we've seen it yet. At least it's not in any of the screenshots which came out afterwards. But yeah, he does have a whole bunch of weird moves which kind of focus around bringing pixel art characters into the fray.
I did like during the roundtable initially for Smash Brothers when the Pac-Man reveal happened was someone had asked how they went about deciding the roster, and Sakurai mentioned that they decided the roster right at the beginning of development. So this game's been in development for, let's say, three and a half years right now.
Yeah, since Kid Icarus finished.
Yeah, well, that. They decided that roster even way before, like, Greninja was even ever mentioned.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
But, I don't know, do you think this is we're getting to that point where we're getting to the last of the few character reveals right now, or it's, you know, thinking like Captain Falcon, Ness, and even Wario should start, you know, sweating bullets right now if they're ever going to be included?
They're in the firing line.
I think we're getting close, unfortunately. Just because with the 3DS game being close to launch, I mean, although it did get delayed, if it hadn't, it would be really close by now, and I assume that's kind of what they were planning their character reveals around. So yeah, I think we might have to start worrying about some of the characters which haven't been brought back yet. Obviously, not saying they're not coming, but if it's anything like the last time round, they kind of did blow their load and pretty much announced everyone who's coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think there's that many left.
Well, just compare this to, like, Hyrule Warriors. There's going to be more playable characters in that game, and I imagine there's going to be a ton more than we already know about. And that game's coming out September 26th, so that's, like, 3 months away.
That's right.
So, I don't know. In that amount of time, I guess anything could happen. So, maybe we're not at the end. Or maybe we're not close to the end of all the character reveals, but, you know, we'll see. Time
will
tell.
A couple of these character reveals, be it if it's, past Smash Brothers characters, I'm sure they'll just be unveiled periodically on the website. Whereas these new characters, they're going to have their, you know, coming out party, whatever, through various Nintendo Directs. So, because I guarantee we're going to have at least, we've already had a bit of detail in the 3DS version, which is going to have a handheld exclusive version called Smash Run, which I believe is also single player and online, where you're just going through this stage for about 5 minutes, and your goal is to just beef up your character's stats as much as possible for one battle. And I never did get a chance to try that at Smash Fest, which I will get into my story about that in a second. I think we're gonna get when the Wii U version, when we're approaching the 3DS version, we'll get one direct that's kind of like glossing over like the final touches on the 3DS version, but also open the door up more and what the Wii U version will differ from the 3DS one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we know the obviously the two games have character or have the same character roster. So, you know, obviously as soon as the 3DS game hits, we will obviously know the roster for the Wii U game. But yeah, should be interesting to see how many more we got left. I'm hoping we got quite a lot.
Do you think the characters that don't return will just be relegated to being assist trophies?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Could go either way, really.
Let's say Wario's not in the game, but he appears and does a nuclear fart.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we all know if neither Ness or Lucas are included in this, or any Earthbound character, there's going to be a riot among Mother fans, so...
Oh, yeah.
So there's your little bit of demographic that's not going to buy the game because of that. But, well, just to go off, like, the whole Smash Brothers festivities we had this whole week, I so happen got to play the new Smash Brothers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, but... my local Best Buy, which was 10 miles away from my house, they was one of two Best Buys in the state of Missouri that was holding Smash, had the game demoed. Got there at 4, like, about 5 minutes before 4. And I assume, like, alright, I'll be in there, wait in line, like, wait, like, 10, 20 minutes or something like that, get out. As soon as I walked in, five aisles worth of lines all the way back to the gaming section.
Hey!
I'm not sure if you saw my photo on Twitter about this. I couldn't even find out where the game was, and I just sat there thinking, like, I'm going to be here for a while, because the event was going from 4 to 9. So, I got halfway through that line around 7:30.
Whoa.
But because, this is where the line started to speed up a little bit, because when I was waiting there initially, they were having two matches. They were having one that was, one match was 5 minutes, and another one that was 2. And then once everybody realized this line was going so slow, it was now down to just a 2-minute brawl with no stock. And there was a point in time where I thought about just jumping out of line, just going back home. And I was thinking, what's worth of this? I'm like, I don't have the patience to wait this long to play a game that I know I can have patience to wait 6 months to play. And, you know, when I own it. But waiting in line, I was surprised by the amount of people there who wanted to play Smash Brothers. I mean, there were quite a few, and I was upset I didn't bring my 3DS because I missed out on a lot of Street Pass opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, clearing your Street Passes would have bided the time.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have. My phone died about 3/4 of the way through the line, and I was just constantly sitting up and down, just trying not to fall asleep or, you know, snap in front of everybody in front of me, because I'll admit, I actually did sneak about 10 people's worth up in line a little bit when people weren't paying attention.
That is dedication, my friend.
Oh, no, I did. They were sitting down, and I just kind of just slowly looked like, I need a new hard drive. I'm going to take a look at this. And I'm like, line starts moving, and I'm like, squish, right there. And,
dangerous tactics, my
this
friend.
This was the bad part about when I was in line, was I was surrounded by a couple bronies. Yes, I was.
How could you tell from their out of the internet appearance?
They were wearing My Little Pony Friendship is Magic t-shirts. One had a Rainbow Dash shirt. One had Twilight Sparkle. These are kids that were 16 or 17 years old, and just hear them rabble on about Smash Brothers, but also knowing that at that young age, I couldn't stop talking about video games. But that rabbit hole I delved into was one of the many reasons why I wanted to get out of line, because I'm like, there was a point in time where I was like, that's it, I'm done talking about writing about video games. I this culture that I'm in the middle of, it's making me want to snap. But I digress. It's just, I did get to talk to a couple of other kids there that were like about 10, 12, 10, 13 years younger than me. Huge Smash Brothers fans, knew who Sakurai was by name and all that, and talked about the character reveals and such. And we just kept talking, like, you know, who we're going to use in line. And at first I was like, I was going to go with my tried and true character, use Samus, but I realized, you know, I'm only going to have one shot to play this for while I wait 6 months for it to release, hopefully. And I was like, I'm just going to try a new character. So right around 8:45, I was in line for 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Dedication.
I finally get to play a 2-minute round of Smash Brothers.
Love it.
Yeah, and there was no GameCube controller support there or anything. I was a little shocked, but they had Pro controllers out there. And I was thinking, like, okay, how am I going to learn the controls and set up on this? Luckily, when you pick the character, like, before the character select screen, it shows the controls flash up there. So got that down a little bit. I was like, okay, jump, tack, grab, yada yada. Then select the characters. I chose Mega Man. Then right before the battle, like the fight started, another like a control screen started there. So I was trying to refresh myself. I was not looking too good. Pretty much in the first minute or so of the match, I died once, and my meter was up to about maybe 80-90%. But and there was a few other people that had, you know, fell off the stage. Luckily, though, I got the Smash Ball, and boy, oh boy,
nice.
using Mega Man's Final Smash, where five different incarnations of Mega Man line up just to blast your opponents away, was so satisfying. And once the match ended, I was thinking, I said, like, I gotta win this. Then it comes up, sudden death, I'm like, oh god. I was facing off a kid who played as Greninja, and luckily enough, I was like, I don't know what to do. I grab him, and I'm thinking, and this is the point, I don't know how to use the grab, like, I'm not using the grab function on there so well. I'm like, grab, and then it just, like, toss in the air when I put the controller down, rushed to my car, got out, washed the stink off from, I was waiting in line, I was like, oh, god, that was it worth it? Well, was it insane? Yes. But was it worth it? Yeah, to win, that alone eased the pain of waiting. So yeah, I was one of the first to play Smash Brothers, but it was for 2 minutes, so I really can't say too much about it, but it looks great, it runs great in 60 frames per second, that, and, I mean, it was a short little burst that I could play with it.
So, was it four players?
Or yes, was it, two? It was. If it was two, I'd be there probably till the next day.
Yeah. So, yourself playing Mega Man, someone played Greninja. Who were the other characters?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember.
Were they old characters?
I believe one person played as Kirby. Of course, you know, somebody wants to copy abilities. And somebody else played as Sheik.
Okay.
So that was it. But, no, I mean, waiting in line when people were seeing these final smashes for the first time, I'd be, like, sitting down, you know, and reading some of the game manuals or, like, strategy guides, and I just hear everybody just going, oh, and I stand up, whatever, and I peer over to see the screen, and somebody used a Final Smash for, like, Greninja, which I missed at the last minute. No, it was funny seeing moms play Smash Brothers because there was kids that moms brought them in there, and I'm thinking, what are those moms thinking, like, wasting so much time in line with their kids? Don't you think you just drop them off and just like, hey, I'll see you in 4 hours? No, I got that. I didn't get a chance to play the 3DS version because after waiting in line so long, I just had to get out of there.
Was there a separate line for the 3DS one as well?
It was near the end, and there was a guy that had two 3DSs, and he had them tethered to his belt, so nobody would steal them. And there were just people there playing matches or Smash Run, so I didn't get a chance to do that.
And there, so initial impressions, pretty good?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it was the 2 minutes I played it, yeah, I mean...
Because it's hard to form opinions are from purely 2 minutes.
But... 2 minutes.
It's a more, if I'd say, it's more fluid than Brawl right now. I was getting that sense from it, so. Even though I was controlling Mega Man poorly early on.
Nah, that's definitely good news. I think what I'd like to do is go around and ask kind of one final question before we close off the show. Which is basically, this time, or a bit before this time next year, how would we like to see Nintendo approach E3? Do we want them to do something similar as they did this year? Put up a tournament to one of their games, probably Smash Bros., have a digital event and, you know, run live streams throughout the week? Or would we rather see them go back to the tried and true kind of more traditional live press conferences and get people on the stage? Or, I don't know, I guess it's really one of those two, unless you can think of something unique. How about you, Holly?
Well, I don't know. At this point, I just think that was such a good E3 that I don't know that I would want to do them any or do it any differently. I think they really catered. I think they realized that Twitch and watching live things take place is really big at the moment. And so they really just took advantage of that and did all the live Treehouse stuff. So I would be satisfied if they did it the exact same way, except maybe... I don't know. I mean, there was obviously humor in the Nintendo Digital event, but, you know, even more humor and even more, you know, just random witty stuff like they, you know, with the stop motion scenes in that. I mean, that was good. That was golden. And so I would not say no to more of that.
Okay, so they won you over. Colin, how about you?
Well, I would be averse if they did it again. This digital event, I thought it worked really well. The stream worked. Well, my friends tell me because they watched it, and then they. when I was at work, they were like, hey, it's really good, and they wouldn't tell me anything. I think it's a good example of what they should try next year. Definitely.
Cool. And Harrison, how about you then?
Funny thing you mentioned about Twitch, Holly, is you said that they liked seeing the stuff streamed. As someone had asked Reggie about why isn't there Twitch support on the Wii U app, and he mentioned, like, nobody wants to see gameplay being streamed, just somebody else playing another game, which was kind of ironic how they partnered up with Twitch to do this. But beside the point, but I would like them to actually do this format again, it just as long as they expand on it. I mean, the amount of content that we got in this digital event and throughout these Treehouse events is a sign that, you know, panic mode Nintendo is the best Nintendo. As opposed, like, you know, whereas Nintendo that's counting all their bills from the revenue they made from the Wii is not necessarily the best to expect a lot of games, whereas the situation Nintendo's in. But, I mean, yeah, streaming events were great as far as to get, like, a good look into the games, whereas what we saw in the digital event was just, you know, trailers, which I feel like stuff like that should be, here's this trailer, and if you want to see more gameplay, watch the Treehouse. But to add more to it, whatever, is you do have to see another spot, whatever, for the Smash Brothers Invitational, which, by the way, was great to watch. I mean, even though I felt like Jeff Keighley, every time he was hosting, he had the look he did not want to be there.
I don't know. I feel mixed on that subject. I think he's also getting a bit of unneeded bad press. I think he did an alright job being host. I think he kind of grounded the whole experience, because I think if they just had like one of the Smash commentators host it, it would just feel a bit too much like a fan type project. Whereas I feel his appearance there kind of just, I don't know, just added a different element to it.
It added an outside source, somebody who covered the entire industry. But just a side note on the Smash Invitational. I was disappointed at the beginning that none of the 16 players chose Samus. Yet I think Sakurai, who was being interpreted, that was technically probably one of the stronger characters in the game. But luckily somebody chose Zero Suit Samus and won the whole thing.
Yeah, and also Zero Suit Samus has an absolutely awesome final smash attack.
Oh, yeah.
Jumps into the gunship. I don't think it would be too far to say it is overpowered.
Yeah.
Especially in some of those matches. It's just, that is what swung the match.
Oh, yeah. It's basically replacing what the Snake final smash. That's it.
Yeah.
But, no, it was fun to watch. But, yeah, again, this format that they did, got it done, just expand on it. You know, keep going, and as long as you have the content and, the content for it, go with it. I mean, obviously, there's going to be that spot to be filled for the Smash Brothers Invitational, so we could see something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I did like at the end, though, when Reggie came out on stage, noting that this was his 10th anniversary, his first E3 appearance, and as he was talking to the winner, Zero, Reggie had mentioned how much he sucks at Smash. And he said once he gets better, he told Zero, he's like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, he said he's going to train up on the 3DS version, didn't he? Because he said something about like how he's always on the go, so the 3DS version will let him he had to train up on Smash Bros. And yeah, I think he did hint that because this went down so well, he couldn't make any promises, but there'll probably be more of these just because of the reaction that he had. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another Smash Bros. Tournament next year, which I would be perfectly happy with. In terms of the press conference, or the digital event as it was, I think it's the best showing Nintendo did for years. And that's without all the other stuff they brought this year around. But most importantly, I feel whether they do a digital event or go back to the live event, I think they need to keep up the these Treehouse live streams. I think they were incredible. And I think it's really good that Nintendo's just kind of, lack of a better term, going directly to the community and showing off footage of those games. So yeah, I think that's the what I was most excited about it. But the comedy element they involved in the digital event was really spot on. So I hope they do more of that. I hope it's not more of the same sort of thing. Just because I think the reason why it was good because it was just kind of out of left field and it was different and unexpected. But it, yeah, if they add more comedy into their next showing, I think that would be a very good thing. And so with that all said and done, that brings us to the end of a very long E3 focused show. As always, we're always looking forward to your questions and comments, and we've not actually had many recently, so please do send some in. The address is contact@infendo.com. And yeah, let us know your E3 impressions, what you liked about it, what you didn't, and what you'd like to see them do next year. And we can read them out in a future show. And with that all said and done, you have been listening to Infendo Radio. Thank you very much for listening.
See you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
See you later.